So, tonight, we're looking at the second of our core values, which is welcoming. And our scripture tonight is Matthew 25, 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on... What?
It's not doing anything.
It's not doing anything.
It's not going
forward. Oh, the battery might be dead.
It's on.
Possibly the battery might be dead.
So, I can hit the arrow
so can we do it on here somehow, or how do we put it?
Possibly.
It says battery.
There we go.
Okay, so...
Okay, start again. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He'll sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He'll separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you took care of Me. I was in prison, and you visited Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "I assure you, whatever you did for one of the least of these My brothers of Mine, you did for Me." Then He will also say to those on the left, "Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take Me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of Me." Then they too will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you?" And then He will answer them, "I assure you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for Me either." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, the reason why the righteous were on the right and the bad people were on the left was because that was the way they saw things at the time. It was just a, I guess you'd say, superstition. If you look into Latin, your right hand is dexter for dexterity and your left hand is sinister. And I used to play Dungeons and Dragons, which some people will find not a good thing. But at any rate, and there were times when they would use these things, and they said something was as sinister as it could be. And I told the Dungeon Master, "We go to the left." And they're going, "Why?" I said, "Because sinister is Latin." When I was in high school, I took Latin instead of any language.
Oh, that's nice.
Because that's just the kind of person I am. But at any rate, we're looking at our core values. This is at the heart of what and who Eagle Wing Fellowship is. We realize that everyone's in a different place in their spiritual journey. Some are new to the faith. Some have been followers for a long time. Some are having a difficult time with this. Some just fall into it. Once again, we see different people who've been through Eagle Wing, and they've been at different points. And sometimes people have said, "You know, why is this person not getting it?" And I said, "Don't worry about it. Everybody comes to God as the Spirit leads them. Okay. So, God has not called us to judge others, but to accept them and welcome them. Now, this is a hard teaching. We need to accept, but correct. In other words, we don't judge people and say, oh, you're a bad person because of this. We may say to them, the Bible says this is the way it should be. And we try to help them find their way to what God really wants from them without saying, oh, you're a bad person. This is a thing, and I think I've said it before, where I often get in trouble in the church planting community around Puget Sound, because there's this big flail going on about, do we accept homosexual people? And I make people shake their heads, because I say, well, are we talking about what they do, or are we talking about what they feel? You see, if they're doing homosexual acts, the Bible is very explicit. We don't play that. But if they are attracted to the same sex as they are, the Bible doesn't really say anything about that. Okay? Now, if they look at it and they say, well, you know, I'm drawn, but Bible says don't do it, then that's just another temptation to them. Maybe it is a big temptation to them. A lot of people around Puget Sound Baptist Association don't like that interpretation. You're supposed to say that homosexual people are anybody who has an attraction for same sex, and that's just evil, and we're going to... To me, that's judgment. And we say we don't judge.
I don't see any place in the Bible where Jesus asks people what their temptation is.
That's right.
He just asks them to follow him, and he would show them the correct way to go.
And the one big thing about it is that Pat will tell you every time this comes up, is God says that we don't have sex outside of marriage.
Period.
Now, we don't have same sex. Well, we do now, but we shouldn't. But at any rate, unless someone is married, and once again, we define marriage between people of opposite sexes, then they shouldn't be having sex anyway. So it's just, but there's no difference whether you do it with the opposite sex or with the same sex. If you're doing it, that's sin. There's no way around it. We need to accept the people, but reject their sin. But we need to do it in a way where we're being very corrective and trying to help them find their way to following. You see, I don't want somebody to change their behavior because I said so, right? I don't want them to change their behavior even if Stone Cold Steve Austin said it. He always says, Stone Cold said so. Well, but it doesn't matter who said so other than God. If they look at it and they say, this is what God says and I'm going to follow it, that's my goal. Okay, and if they tell me I can't become involved with the same, with the opposite sex, I just can't do it. That's not the way that I am. But if they accept the fact that they're not supposed to go and get involved in sexual encounters, to me, this means that they're fighting sin harder than I have to fight, and they're at least marginally succeeding. We need to lead as he leads us. Now, what I mean by that is Jesus didn't hammer on people. Jesus led them. One of the things that we were told in the military is that there's a difference between a leader and a sender. A sender is somebody who says, you go do that, I'll wait here till you get back. A leader says, come with me, we're going to go do something. People follow leaders. They don't like senders. We need to lead the way Jesus led, because he's going to go with us if we'll do that. We need to lead people by showing them what Jesus said and saying, come with me while we do this together. judgment is not our right. We can't judge anybody because we're no better than they are. Correction is our duty. But you have to do it right. The Bible says, now if you do this in a judgmental, beat the table thing, God says, and you're an evil person. That's not what Jesus said to do. He just said, just say to them, that's not really what God wants. And if they tell you to pack sand, then you just go, okay, you know, and keep telling them. But eventually they'll come. I've had people in this church that are not there anymore, but whatever. And they finally come to me and they say, I've realized this is what God wants for me. Can you help me to do it? Yes, I will. I love that. Jesus modeled this during his earthly ministry. He did not go to the well in place and acceptable people. He went to those who felt they would never be accepted, which is one of the principles, as I was saying earlier, that egoing has held to. We actually got to the point at one point where one of the people we were ministering to said, so you actually minister to people who are basically discarded by other churches. And I said, well, I don't want to get into talking about other churches as much as I want to tell you that you are not discarded by us. You're accepted. Okay? If you've been discarded, come here. We'll take care of you. He told them his Father loves them and he just wants them to love him. That's why the common people loved him. He didn't have 608 commandments that were, you know, 598 of which were basically made up by somebody else. He just told them, God loves you and he has a plan for your life. All he wants you to do is be his child and follow him. You know, he never contested the sacrificial system. He just said, I'm going to be the sacrifice. I'm going to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Come to me and I'll take away your sins. Continuously through all four Gospels, he had people who came and said, how dare you say you forgive somebody's sins? What right do you have to do that? Well, first of all, during his ministry, he had a right to do that because he never sinned. Okay? He's the one person who could do that because he had not sinned. And so he could say, I forgive you, even if it's only for him. But it wasn't. And secondly, because he was the Son of God and God himself, so he had the right to forgive sins. We're not in a position to do that. We tell people that God loves them, he has a plan for them, he just wants them to love him back and to accept him and to accept the fact that they need a Savior and take the Savior that has already come. We intend to create a place where all are comfortable. That's a word that God gave Pat and I. And we just felt as though that God was, because people kept saying, you know, when they'd leave, we'd say, okay, so what did you think of our service and so on? I was very comfortable. And they just kept using that word over and over again. I was very comfortable. And God put it on both of our hearts. Comfortable was what you're looking for, Walter. Comfortable is what they're not in other places. Here they come and they are comfortable. Here they feel God's love. We wanted to create a place of rest where there's nobody who's going to be hammering on you. There's nobody who's going to be, you know, calling you names and trying to run you off or anything. This does not mean that we won't call you out if you go out and sin. Okay? We've had a number of people who have done that. And usually, they'll come running to me. Oh, Walter, I'm so sorry. So I'm going, you don't have to apologize to me. We need to sit down and pray and, you know, confess this to God and let Him forgive it. And then they'd always leave with this big smile because God had forgiven them. And then the weight lifted. We're not a hotel for saints. We're a hospital for sinners. People come to Eagle Wing because other places said, you're a terrible person, we don't want you here. And they come to Eagle Wing because we go, we're all freaking terrible people. We need to try to work together to stop being terrible people. So what does this mean for us? First of all, accept people where they are. You can't walk in and tell them, you know, you have to make the following changes before I'm even going to talk to you. Now, I will give you a really good example of this. When we first started working with the Harley Owners Group, people saw Jesus is Lord across my shoulders. At that point, I was a member of a Christian ministry called Black Sheep Harley-Davidson's for Christ. And I noticed that there was antagonism right away. You're going to try to lead us all to Christ. I said, only if you ask me to. What do you mean? I said, I mean, if you feel like God wants you to come to Him, come talk to me. If you have questions, come talk to me. Oh, we'll never do that. Took about 3 days. And they began coming. And usually it was, does the Bible actually say? And then I would straighten them out on what the Bible actually says. Or I would straighten them out on what it meant by reading them the whole passage so they got it in context. Whatever. Eventually I discovered there had been a group who had come in at one point. And they made it very clear that they wanted you to come to Jesus, but you had to leave Harley Owners Group first. Okay? God does not want people from Harley Owners Group. And the reason for this was because there are Harley Owners Groups that are very rowdy and they go out and they get drunk and they act a fool. Well, that summer, we went off to, and I did, by this, at that time, I didn't even know it. We went off to, Winthrop, that's right. And they asked me, they said, well, you don't drink, right? And I, at that time, I didn't at all. And so they said, we want you to watch the door. Don't let anybody go get on a motorcycle that's drunk. Well, the one advantage I had at this was that I used to be a policeman. So I know what they call physical apprehension and restraint techniques. And this one guy was very, very large. But he had an extremely beautiful motorcycle. And the next morning he comes over. I didn't even remember doing this. He comes over and he says, Rev, did you actually tell me last night that if I try to get on that motorcycle, you're going to kick my ass? I said, I may not have phrased it that way, but no, you were not getting on that pretty motorcycle and go mess it up. I said, that bike is too beautiful to have you wreck it driving drunk. That was probably a good idea. I said, yeah. Well, later I found out about this group that had come in and basically was anti-hog, was anti-motorcyclists. They rode motorcycles, but they were anti anything that was organized motorcyclists. You know, we just get together, and it's like, and I said, well, did they ride together? Oh, they always rode together. You never found them if they weren't all together. Oh, okay. But they were against groups. And it's like, you are a group, dummy. But at any rate, we need to accept people for who they are. Pat will tell you, little by little by little, as we went through Harley Owners Group, people began to come to us. One lady had a daughter who was having a baby, and she was having really bad problems. And she came to Pat in tears and said, "Would you pray with me? I'm so scared."
No, I asked her. She came to me and she told me that her daughter was in the hospital. She'd gone to the emergency room because she had the flu. And she was very pregnant. And she was had a very high fever. And so I said to her, "Can I?" And I knew she was a Christian. So I said to her, "Can we go pray?" And she said, "Yes." And so we went over off to the side. We were going to pray. And this other lady who I knew, who was her best friend, I don't know if she was a Christian or not, but I know she'd never actually done anything like pray in public before. I said to her, "Do you want to come pray with us?" And she said, "Sure." So we prayed. Her daughter called her a little bit while later, and she said, the timing when we were praying, her fever broke. And she was able to go home, and she got well pretty quickly. From that point on, it was like, if you have a prayer need, go to Pat and Walt.
Yep.
And especially the ladies would come to me with prayer needs at that point, because it's like, this really is true. And it got to the point where the ladies would say to us, "You guys are the real deal. This is not some fake religion. This is the real deal." That was their praise.
So. Yep. We need to accept people where they are. We need to lead them from our experience and be led by Jesus, so that what they're seeing in us is what you want them to pattern. We need to follow Jesus' example. We need to give people answers, if only because we went and looked in the Bible and found something. You know? And we need to make Eagle Wing, wherever it is, a refuge and a healing place for people to come and find Jesus. That was one of the first things that Pat wrote when we first started. Our mission statement was that we're journeying to find Jesus. And so she says this because we kept finding places, churches that were called The Journey.
And so Pat got to like the word journey. Our pastor was doing a series on journeying with Jesus. And we went on vacation and we found a church that was called The Journey. And it actually, we went on a vacation in San Francisco, and the church there, we found a church. I had gone online to find a church that had casual dress because we didn't want to get all dressed up and go to a fancy Baptist church on Sunday morning. We wanted to go to a church that would take us as we are.
Yep.
Well, we found this church that was online. I happened to find a blog from the pastor that said that their dress code was come as you are in whatever you're comfortable in, you know. So I went, "Well, this is it." And I said, "Walter, it's called the Journey Church. I think we should go." We got there, and it was a church plant. And it was their very, very first service. They had been having bingo night and the other types of game nights, and that was their very first church service. And they met in an old hotel ballroom, where you actually had to ride up in an elevator, and somebody actually had to man the elevator to take you up. And they had, you know, restrooms with gold fixtures, and it was just one of these really crazy old European style hotels.
And one of the most interesting things about it was a church plant in San Francisco from a church in New York City, also called The Journey,
that launched them. Their worship leader in New York called the Planet Church in San Francisco. So they had taken a group out there. And when we got there, that's exactly what they were doing. They were just trying to...
Yep.
And we just knew that... And it turned out, we get back... And this was like in 2007. When we go
yep.
when we went to plant the church in 2010... our pastor asked us to read a book that was called Launch. And the book Launch was based on the church in New York City and the church in San Francisco. And when we told our pastor that we had been to that church in San Francisco, he said, "You're kidding." I said, "No." And we you know, we kept saying to us, "Well, if we ever had a church, that would be cool, you know, if we ever planted a church, you know." Yeah. We had no idea what God was going to call us to plant a church. So then everything went from there, but we could see the pieces, you know, and that God's touching our hearts and our lives as we went.
Yep. Well, that's the sermon on welcoming. Like I say, this is our second core value. Next week we'll have the third one and then the last one in 2 weeks. But let's pray now. Lord, we thank you that we've been here. We thank you that you've called this church into the ministry that you've called it to. Help us to minister to those who aren't comfortable in other places, people who may feel that they've been discarded, that we can let them know that they're valued by us. Help us to grow, not because we want to be a bigger church, but because we want to see more people come to Jesus. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys.